Hey guys, this is Nathan Chen, U.S. champion.
I'm Madison Chalk.
And I'm Evan Bates.
Hi, this is Adam Rippon.
Hello, I'm Javier Fernandez.
Hi, this is Sasha Cohen.
Hey, this is Ashley Wagner.
Hi, this is Caitlin Osmond.
Hi, I'm Patrick Chan.
This is Ryan Bradley.
Hey guys, it's Christy Yamaguchi.
Hi, my name is Evgeny Medvedeva, and you're listening to Ice Talk.
Figure skating fans, it's episode 54 of Ice Talk, the figure skating podcast from Ice Network. We've got a special episode here on number 54. I'm joined by the one and only rockerskating.com's Jackie Wong, and we're also joined today by regular contributor to icenetwork.com, Lynn Rutherford. Welcome to you both.
Super.
You guys ready? We're going to talk some Japanese nationals as well as Russian nationals today. And you guys, we haven't really been able to give the love and care to the Grand Prix final that happened a couple weeks ago. So we're going to break that down a little bit. But Jackie, instead of rocker skating being on your business card, I think it should now just say Jackie Wong. I've interviewed Michelle Kwan.
Oh my gosh.
How did it go? It was a great interview.
I don't know how I kept it together, to
you
be
did.
Honest, but it was wonderful having her here in studio. She was amazing, as you would expect her to be, and too bad for the skating fans out there that she won't be doing any tours anytime soon. But if you guys haven't heard it, hopefully you have, but it's in the archives, it's on video on icenetwork.com, so it's a great interview. I'd like to say it's a great interview.
Yeah, but, you and Phil Hirsch both spoke with her. Yeah, it was great.
So do it.
And she what? She was saying she's landing double sow cows?
She did a double axle.
She
did a double axle. She actually today, as we record this, posted an Instagram video of herself doing a double toe combination.
Wow.
So if she give her the GOE, she might be competitive.
There we go. And this is much delayed, Lynn Rutherford, but I have to say for myself and from a lot of people, I think, around the figure skating world, thank you always for your coverage, but especially at Skate America. You were running around that building getting quotes and following programs, and it was a busy few days for you.
Well, I wasn't running. I was perhaps walking briskly.
Brisk walking.
My running days are behind
me. Well, thank you anyway. And let's start first with that Grand Prix final. We saw wins from Alina Zagitova, Nathan Chen in the pairs, Aliona Savchenko and Bruno Massot. And then in the dance, it was Gabriela Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron for the first time head-to-head beating Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer. So, Lynn, can we start there and your impressions of that win for the French? Because we had been sort of building to it, it felt like, this season with the scores that they've been getting. But to do so head-to-head, that's got to feel pretty good 2 months before the Olympics.
It feels really good for the French. It doesn't feel quite as satisfying, I don't think, for the Canadians. You know, it was a result that I don't, frankly, necessarily agree with.
Okay.
No one asked my opinion, nor am I a qualified ice dance judge. But these are two teams that went in there with the same base value for their elements. They got the same levels. And the judges decided that the French were slightly better technically and slightly better on the PCS, including skating skills.
It started in an interesting way, too, because the Canadians are the ones who have sort of been known to have a better short dance, but the French were ahead after that short dance.
Yeah, exactly. And the short dance really is Virtue and Moyer's strength this season. They have generally become short dance dancers over the last couple of years, especially last year with their Prince short dance, and this year I love their short dance as well. And you would generally say that the French team does have an advantage in the free dance. But it was very interesting to see the judges putting the French above the Canadians in the short dance, and that set them up for the win, which was 2.3 points. So it wasn't a lot. And really, if we look at the Olympics coming up, it's still anybody's game. It's really anybody's game when it comes to the levels. So one or two weird things with levels, and one slip up or another, and they flip. That's it.
Yeah. So neither of you necessarily think that makes Gabby and Guillaume the Olympic favorites going into Pyeongchang.
I respectfully disagree a bit. I do think that I can now say that the French would be slightly favored for the individual title going into the Olympics. I was really a little taken aback by the results. You know, given no slip-ups, given that everybody's going to get their levels, you know, the judges were saying at the Grand Prix final that the French had a slight advantage of a couple of points, which is not chicken feed in ice dance. So while I agree that anything can happen, and certainly Tessa and Scott can further enhance the free dance and maybe skate a little freer in the step sequences, you know, I'm now going to call the French a slight favorite, which is opposite from what I started with.
Yeah, and you have to really look at the components, and I think that's probably where you're saying that they are the slight favorites. You saw this with Meryl and Charlie versus Tessa and Scott in the season of the 2014 Olympics, where the momentum was on their side in terms of the results, in terms of all of those things. So it really will take something a little bit more extraordinary from Tessa and Scott for them to win the Olympics.
And I also think with U.S. Nationals just a couple weeks ago, it was really interesting to see what happened with the three U.S. ice dance teams, separated by less than a point. Yeah. Maya and Alex Shibutani, of course, winning the bronze medal. And then you had Madison Hubbell and Zach Donahue in fourth. Fifth place went to Madison Chalk and Evan Bates. Does that tell you anything, Lynn? Or does it just say, gosh, we've got a lot to look forward to in San Jose in the ice dance?
Well, gosh, we do have a heck of a lot to look forward to. But it tells me that, number one, Alex can't make a kind of a unconscious uncoupling with a twizzle again in either program. I'm sure, you know, it's very uncharacteristic. It cost them a bit. They also did lose ground on their diagonal in their free dance. It was a level two, I believe. And, you know, this is a step sequence that they'd gotten some feedback after Rustelecom, which they won. They changed it. And they were very firm at Skate America, saying, you know, hey, we're not changing it again. But, you know, I think they're going to take a look at everything. They did still get the third highest PCS. So I think the judges were kind of saying, hey, you know, we think you're third. You made a couple of little uncharacteristic small mistakes. But I'm going to add here that I thought that the other two teams, Hubbell and Donahue and Chalk and Bates, were outstanding. It was by far their best of the season. And particularly, I thought that the Imagine free dance just improved by a leap. So, you know, yeah, we're going to have a throwdown, showdown, whatever you want to call it.
Throwdown, showdown in San Jose.
In San Jose.
For the ice dance. Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Yeah, we kind of joke about it, but it's kind of extraordinary that the U.S. has three teams of this caliber.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
the new hashtag throwdown showdown.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
I'll just
trending, please.
I'll also add that I think Maya and Alex were lucky to have gotten third there because of the mistakes that happened.
I think people out there agree with you.
I mean, the components, I would say, were fair-ish, but it was really the grades of execution for the mistakes that they had. They were just a tad bit high given the kinds of errors that they made in both programs. And so them having the win over Hubbell and Donahue here by 0.6, and it really could have gone completely off.
Well, look at us starting episode 54 talking about ice dance, but the last ice dance word,
thank
Lynn
you.
Rutherford.
Again, I'm going to have to disagree a bit with my esteemed colleague. Maya and Alex twizzles are so laden with difficulty and features that it's a four-part twizzle in the short dance. It has, I believe, 20 revolutions. Yes, he did one fewer, but they were still able, I think, to qualify as the level four and, you know, to maybe get less than they normally would, minus one, and it's still a plus one, plus two.
This ice talk is becoming a throwdown showdown already.
Down,
I
like it.
I'm sure that all three or four ice dance fans out there appreciate it.
They all do. Come on now, Lynn. So I want to know, too, you know, obviously a big win for the French, but looking at Nathan Chen and what Alina Zagitova did and what it means for their seasons, because in both the men's event and ladies, we've got a lot of question marks hanging over the scope of what's to come the next couple of months, probably first for Nathan Chen. I mean, it was a half-point win over Shoma Uno, but nonetheless, he just won the Grand Prix final.
Yeah, he won the Grand Prix final. This is a very different result from last year, where Nathan and Shoma were really impressive at the Grand Prix final. I remember tweeting, you know, if Nathan and Shoma end up on the podium, you have that Grand Prix final, the 2016 Grand Prix final, to look at as the cusp where, you know, things transition from the veterans to the newcomers. That said, I mean, it was a messy men's event all around, and I'm holding out hope, and I'm going to be the optimist and say that it's going to be different in Pyeongchang. It was certainly not a very good free skate in Sochi.
No,
back four years ago.
And
this is a much more difficult set of programs coming into 2018. So
yeah.
I'm holding out hope. I think they'll bring their best, but we'll have to see.
And interesting to see Nathan Chen win the event by, you know, half a point, but still, you know, all he wants to talk about is I just need to get better. I need to improve. I need to stand up in my free skate especially. It was a little reminiscent of what he did at Skate America, having had
Better than Skate America.
Better, right. But similar scenario of great short program and then some rough goes in the free skate. But it is also, it's been interesting to watch Zagitova and then also for Maria Sotskova taking the silver medal, a 1-2 Russian sweep. It's interesting with Evgenia Medvedeva being out, right? The 2-time world champion. And here's these two Russian ladies coming up. And now there, you know, with the question marks surrounding her too, it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen in St. Petersburg.
Yes. Well, first of all, we don't yet know, or at least I don't yet know, if Medvedeva is going to compete, because I'm kind of hearing I don't know. Let's assume she's not. But...
Right. And let me make the note while you get to that thought is that this is December 14th.
Right.
We're talking right now. So people will be listening to this in a few days. Maybe news will come out. But we all agree with that sentiment right now of how's her health?
I've heard conflicting reports. I mean,
shocker.
You know, hey, shocker. Kogan, the executive director of Russian figure skating, has indicated that she may well compete. Personally, I don't know what is to be gained by her competing. I think she's a lock for the world team, for the Olympic team. And if they want to send her to Europeans, certainly.
And Europeans is in Moscow, so it's not like they're going to be traveling all that much.
But does Medvedeva, does she need to compete in either nationals or Europeans just to get herself back on the ice before the Olympics?
No.
I would say yes.
I think that she is a person that wants to compete.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
This is the thing. And I would say that there's a really good chance that she would compete in Moscow at Europeans versus
St. Petersburg
at Nationals and, you know, get her programs out there again, get her face cranked up again, get her triple triples going, and that would be great.
Yeah.
And the reason I say no to both Russians and Europeans is that she is the type of skater who trains her programs full out all the time. We heard this with Michelle Kwan when she was on Ice Talk. She said, you know, basically the secret to her success was that she did run-throughs all the time. And that when
that was interesting. I liked that.
When she went to the competitions, it was very easy for her to just trust her training and do it. Whereas, you know, if you're only doing parts, you need that competition time to get the confidence.
Yeah. Well, one skater who it'll be interesting to see where her confidence is at U.S. Nationals in a couple of weeks is Ashley Wagner. And Jackie, you had that bit of breaking news last week about her La La Land free skate going back to that program. But she'll debut it at essentially what is the Olympic trials.
Yeah. I will be the first to tell you that I'm very happy with that decision. I mean, I saw that program get
in June.
Mid-June, and I thought it was a brilliant program, and I'm now that she's actually debuting, and I'm actually going to tell you what my feelings are of that program. It is an Olympic caliber, like Olympic feeling kind of program, and that's what she's been wanting, and she's making some tweaks to it. And you know, my very quick interview with her, you know, she was saying that she just didn't feel Moulin Rouge anymore. And it's all the things that people have been talking about. Like, you know, it peaked twice for her. It peaked at 2015 Nationals. It peaked at 2016 Worlds even more. And if she's trying to like chase back that incredible magic that she got at those two events, like it's just not happening.
Yeah,
and she realized it wasn't happening.
It was magical for her to make magic out of it twice.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the brilliance of that program. But you know, she just can't do it anymore. But for La La Land, I think what is going to be interesting to watch is that it's not really a new program for her, right? She's had it since June. She's been doing parts of it in Moulin Rouge in a lot of ways. Like there's some choreography in there that she's been doing in the Moulin Rouge programs. And she's been thinking about doing that program as an exhibition. And so it's always been in her head. And she knows that program is somewhere a part of her. It's just a question of, is a month enough time for her to get it really comfortable?
And
she skated it for a few weeks during the summer.
Did she compete it ever?
She never competed.
Never competed it. No. Not even at that. Didn't she do some club?
Yeah, that was Moulin Rouge.
All right. Well, that will be, I feel like I use interesting too much, but it will be very
interesting
to see it. And Ashley Wagner loves a comeback story. So yes. We'll see if she can come back. San Jose, of course, you can get all of that live streaming on icenetwork.com. We three will be there as well. Perhaps we should do a throwdown showdown there in a edition, but let's first go to Tokyo, December 20th to 24th at the Japanese Nationals. And the one that everyone will be talking about, he may or may not be there, Yuzuru Hanyu, really the reigning everything in men's skating, had a fall in practice at NHK Trophy. And pretty much since then, it has been bad news.
It's still his ankle that is bothering him the most. And today, December 14th, we're in. The latest news was that there's some ligament damage that we're talking about here. Even beyond the damage of whatever the injury actually is, I think the most crucial thing is that this is on his landing foot. And it's not like Adam's injury that was in his free foot. It's not like Medvedeva's injury that was in her free foot. This is landing foot, and there's a lot of force that comes down on that foot when you're talking about quads, when you're talking about triple axels. I would be very surprised if he is at Japanese Nationals. I would not be surprised if they named him to the team.
Right.
And the alternates are basically saying, okay, there is a chance that I might compete.
Might compete at the Olympics?
At the Olympics, yeah.
Yeah, well, as soon as ligaments are involved, the word ligament and the ligaments themselves, that's not necessarily a good sign for the skater, but of course he'll be the talk of Tokyo no matter if he's there or not. Shoma Uno, coming off that second place finish at the Grand Prix final, would be also probably a shoe-in for that second Olympic spot for the Japanese men. So who's gonna get that third spot, Lynn?
I think that third spot is
wide open, huh?
Kind of wide open. I saw him this summer, Daisuke Murakami, and I thought he looked really good.
Yep.
He did the club event in Philadelphia, but injuries have taken him out of NHK Trophy, and, you know, he is just a huge question mark. He really doesn't have the resume this fall. And then you have Tanaka, another candidate, and Mura, and they've kind of been, Jackie, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of similar in their
placement.
Middling, let's call it middling performances. You know, I think this one is up for grabs here. I don't know if they would consider going to their junior, their top junior. Probably not, Samato. So I think it's going to be, I'm going to, you know, go out, not on a limb, but common sense-wise, and say Tanaka and Mura are going to fight over it.
Yeah, I mean, Samato was just at Grand Prix or Junior Grand Prix Finals, and he got third there. I don't think that that's going to happen. I think it is really going to be those three that you were talking about. I would actually add Kazuki Tomono into that equation as well. You know, if this were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you would think Takahito Mura would be the shoe-in for the third spot. He's just not looked like where he used to be. And I remember seeing him at Skate America just... You know, his big thing is the jumps. Like, you know, he's doing warhorse programs, and it's not like artistry is his strength. And so he's got to land those jumps, and he could barely find a quad toe, and that used to be his big jump. And he actually, I remember with his second day of practice, they actually changed his entrance technique into the quad toe, and it actually got better. So, you know, if he can figure that out, then I would say he's got a pretty good shot. Keiji Tanaka is a more well-rounded skater than Mura is. And, you know, he went to Worlds last year, I believe. He, for me, is probably the favorite for that third spot. Daisuke Murakami, like Lynn said, very much an unknown quantity right now because he hasn't been around since the summer. But if he does what he did over the summer and that one club competition – he's got a really good shot. I mean, you have to remember a couple of years ago, he came in all of a sudden and won a Grand Prix. And
as you do.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got the goods, you know, land that quad sow, land the triple axel, and he's got a real good shot.
I just have to say it's crazy with Medvedev and with Hanyu, the way that this season has shaken out. I mean, the fact that we didn't have Hanyu or Fernandez at the Grand Prix final.
Or Chan.
Yeah, or Patrick Chan. I mean, you know, this is why it's a sport, right? I mean, you just can't predict what's going to happen, and especially in an Olympic season. But fascinating as we transition into the Japanese ladies, because once again, we all have to remind ourselves it's only two spots. Now, I'm going to name six names, and there are obvious, maybe there's a few more, but Wakaba Higuchi and Satoko Miyahara were both at the Grand Prix final. And then you have Kaori Sakamoto coming off that great performance, that really enchanting performance at Skate America. And then Mai Mihara, Rika Hongo, and Marin Honda. And there are six women. Just pick your two that are going to make the Japanese Olympic team. But that will be fascinating to see how that plays out in Tokyo.
Well, one of the things to remember is whoever wins that event is going. Unlike, let's say, at U.S. Nationals, the national champion automatically, by their rules, will get an Olympic spot.
So it's really one spot you're talking about. That.
Right. So we're talking about, you know, hey, you know, who's going to come to the fore and win? And then we're talking about a subset of, you know, hey, if somebody is second, is that good enough to beat out, let's say, Miyahara, if Miyahara is third?
Sure.
You know, because Miyahara, I would say, and
Higuchi,
I call her Waka Waka Skater because I love that Twitter.
Her Instagram.
You know, they would have a little bit of an edge in terms of, hey, if either one is third.
Sure. Yeah. So you've got Miyahara as three-time reigning national champion, 2015 world silver medalist. She, would you say, especially with her late season push, what she did at Skate America and the Grand Prix final, should she not win, is she kind of a lock for, not a lock, but is she the favorite for that second spot?
I would say so. I mean,
nods.
Miyahara, the best thing that could have happened to her was her win at Skate America and then Medvedeva's withdrawal from the Grand Prix final, because it got her into the Grand Prix final.
Right.
Because if you look at the Japanese selection criteria, the Grand Prix final is high on their list. It's just like for the U.S. Qualifying criteria as well. So.
Yeah. And she beat Higuchi.
She beat handily.
Yeah, in Nagoya. She beat her.
Well, that's the thing about Higuchi. I crazily enough predicted her to win the Grand Prix final, and then she ended up sixth. It was completely a shock to me, based on what she's been doing this season, how consistent she's been this season, that she just had some mental lapses that in the free skate that just kept her from being anywhere near the rest of the field. And the top two for the Japanese women have been switching around all season for me. It was at one point I was certain that it would be Higuchi and Mihara.
Skate America changed all of that.
It completely changed everything. And when we went to the Grand Prix final, I was certain it was Miyahara and Higuchi. Now it's like, is it Miyahara Higuchi? Is it Miyahara and Mihara? That would give the NBC.
That wouldn't be confusing at all, right?
Fun facts there. But you know, I would say Marin Honda, as much as I love her skating, I think she's probably not gonna be up there. I would put Sakamoto higher at this point. But you know, you never know with national championships, because it is a very different kind of pressure cooker, and we've seen it in US nationals, we've seen it everywhere.
I think that Miyahara and Higuchi are probably going to come through. Miyahara stood up to the pressure at Japanese Nationals before, so I don't really see any reason why she wouldn't. And, you know, her biggest flaw, if there is a flaw, is that she tends to get under rotation calls. And, you know, that may not happen to the degree that it would happen internationally. At Nationals.
Right.
So I would say that she's a favorite for the team. And personally, I'm hoping, because I enjoy her skating very much. She's explosive and dynamic and everything else. Higuchi would do it. You know, it's kind of interesting because the beginning of the season, there was a lot of talk about Honda.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, and Ice Network people as well, sort of picked her as a breakout person. And, you know, it's happened to a degree. You know, she hasn't been a flop, but, you know, she hasn't really shown the way, you know, Zagitova or other graduating juniors have. And her, I know maybe Jackie, you talked to her as well, but her coach, Mihamada at Skate America, just mm-hmm. made no bones about it, that she just does not work hard enough. And I kind of kept prodding her and saying, well, wait a minute, she's got to win nationals to go to the Olympics. And, you know, Mihamada said, no, I don't think she's going to do it.
Huh.
Yeah.
So
I didn't expect Marin Honda to be good because of the scores that she would get this season. I expected her to be up there because I did not expect Higuchi to skate this well.
Sure.
I did not expect Mihara to skate this well. I did not expect Miyahara to skate this well. and so that
Sakamoto to skate this well.
Sakamoto wasn't even on my radar.
Nor mine.
And that's saying something. Yeah.
She was on my radar at Skate America.
She was good.
But you have to also think about Rika Hongo too in some light, because she, you know,
well,
last
you can
year
think about her. You can think,
but you know, last year at Worlds, she was completely off. Like, yeah. I thought she was going to be done by then. And she's come back this season and actually, you know, is landing things again like she used to. Is she anywhere near the favorite? No. But I would love to see a comeback of sorts from her, even if she only makes the four continents team.
Sure.
It will surely be a throwdown showdown for the ladies in Tokyo.
Episode 54, Colin. Throwdown showdown.
Exactly. Well, let's go ahead and move over to St. Petersburg, where all eyes will be on the ladies' competition, of course, with Medvedeva either...
Well, I'll be watching dance. But
you'll be watching dance, right. I think most other people will be watching the ladies first and foremost with Medvedeva. Will she be there? Will she be healthy? Will she be skating? And I think it's interesting, actually, I went back and looked at the podium from last year at Nationals, and it was Medvedeva, Zagitova, and Satskova. And here we are with all of the Russian women who have skated so well in the last 12 months, and they feel like, to me, the three strongest candidates to make that Olympic team.
I would say so. And with Pogorelia having basically announced her withdrawal from the competition and also basically just
ending
her season.
Yeah.
It was really unfortunate. I mean, Pogorelia is a lot of people's kind of sentimental favorites because of her genuineness on the ice and also her flair for the dramatics, right?
A roller coaster. Pogorelia.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other one you have to think about is Radionova as the other kind of flair for the dramatics, but really kind of bubbling under. If Sotskova is under-rotating her jumps at Nationals, you've got Radionova, who, you know, was two-time world junior champion coming in from a few years ago. I would imagine that there's going to be a pretty good fight between her and Sotskova for that third spot.
I think we can say that Medvedeva is on that Olympic team, no matter if she skates in St. Petersburg or not. But who else do we include in that conversation? I mean, Tsarskaya had a great start to her Grand Prix season. I don't think convinced people much more in Lake Placid, but there's a few more names to add to that list, right?
There's a few more names, but I think we've covered the
candidates. Yeah, and you, I mean, any added thoughts you want on those?
I guess my big thought would be, when you look at these Russian ladies and you look at the talent and the record that these ladies have, and think that some of them that have been world champions, for example, Tuktabysheva, did a triple axel, probably will not ever go to the Olympics. Radionova's in danger of never going to the Olympics. You know, the Olympics are not the be-all and end-all, but these are ladies that have had stellar careers that will likely never qualify.
And Alina Leonova, too, right?
World silver medalist.
Absolutely. She's another lady. They just keep coming and coming and coming. You know, Medvedeva certainly has distinguished herself. I think she's going to go to the Olympics. You know, as far, I know, Jackie, maybe get your input. Would they definitively decide the three ladies for Korea, or would they go to Moscow?
I've never seen the Russian Federation actually name a world team right after the national championship. So no, I don't think it's going to happen until after Europeans.
I don't think so either. So I think that we're going to have to hang on for a little bit
for
longer.
Dear life.
Hang well, on. Well, and I think that they're
going to... Clutch our pearls a little bit more.
I'm always clutching my pearls.
Where are my
sure.
pearls?
I think for Medvedeva as well, looking at the fact that they'll want to push that to the 11th hour if she's not healthy or if she continues to need that time.
Well, they seem to be making a dramatic show of it. So not quite as much as Han Yu is, but still, I mean, it's become a topic of discussion. And, you know, I think it'd be foolhardy for her to compete, but
in yeah. St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no need for her to do that. And I think back to, again, my conversation with Michelle talking about her fractured toe basically at the same time as Medvedeva had her fracture diagnosed. And she had been skating on it and Michelle had been skating on it. And she said, you know, I was on a cast for like 2 weeks and I didn't do anything.
Right before Nationals.
And she came back and she was able to do it. And I think it was also the same foot. It was the same, the free yes. foot that she had the injury
she's
on.
She's not only able to do it, she skated her best performance ever.
With her best triple loops ever, which
you know,
is ridiculous.
And she did a triple flip and the short, yeah. and it was a whole thing. Yeah. So
I would say for these purposes, for Medvedeva to compete in a week is just like, it's not worth it because you don't want to be injuring yourself any yeah. further than that. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing for her to prove.
Right. She's... Well, yeah,
she has been the best in the world.
But also the point that you were just making, Lynn, is that she, you know, she's been world champion twice, and now it's about winning the Olympics yeah. or going to the Olympics, winning a medal. Probably, you know, she would be a lot of people's pick as the favorite. Why would you go to St. Petersburg to win another national title?
Yeah.
Yeah, fully agree. The men.
Yes.
The men. Two spots up for grabs for the Russian men. This will be another fascinating competition to watch. Sergei Voronov, at 30 years young, has done some unbelievable things this season. NHK Trophy champion, Grand Prix final fourth place. Mikhail Kolyada, third at the Grand Prix final. He's defending champion, obviously. And then there's a couple other names. You throw out Alexander Samarin and Dmitry Aliyev, and I heard last week on NBC, Terry Gannon mentioned Maxime Kovtin, yep. and Johnny Weir said, nope, done.
You saw him at Skate America just like hobbling off the ice. I mean, he's been trying to come back from injury. He's been trying to get himself in shape. And he competed at Skate America because he needed to have a competition under him mentally. Like for him, it is so important for his confidence for him to skate well, you know, for him to have aggravated, I think his back, was it?
Back, I believe.
At Skate America was not withdrew a
good sign. Before the free skate.
Exactly, right. Yeah. It's doubtful. I
agree, I think so.
I don't think it's going to happen.
So then does it come down to those four guys? You've got Voronov, yep. Kolyada, Samarin, and Aliyev.
Yep. And I would say Kolyada is the absolute favorite. I think he's as good as a lock as anybody on that. In that list that you just said, as much as I would love Voronov to be on the team because of the story, because of what he's done this season.
Don't say it, Jackie. Don't say it.
He's completely made the case for himself. It's really up to what the Russian judges do. And
yeah.
we've seen him get lowballed in Russian competition before.
Right.
And I really would hate to see him get that again. I would say Samarin is a little bit of a favorite at this point over Voronov. But if everything...
It's shocking to say that, though, because, you know, Voronov's a guy, yeah, they don't want him on the team.
Yeah.
I think he's been very frank about that. I mean, I think he's paid his own way
yep.
to go to Senior B competitions. You know, he's really had to sort of fight every step of the way here, but... You know,
he's made a pretty good
he's
case.
He's made a gosh darn good
oh,
case.
Yeah.
But he's got to help that. What you're saying is he's got to help that case a lot. At
he's got to skate.
He's
got to
skate clean.
Really well
yeah.
and see what happens. And they may throw it to Europeans even then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, they definitely will.
So
he was seventh. Obviously, a different season from a year ago. He was seventh at Russian Nationals.
He was seventh yeah. at Russian Nationals, which is, you know, negative. I mean, you don't want somebody that's going to be up and down. But
yeah.
then again, all the Russian men have been that way.
But he goes into Russian Nationals beaming with confidence. Like, the way that he finished Skate America and also Grand Prix Final. He was the cleanest free skate at Grand Prix Final of the six men.
He was the cleanest free skate. He was also the least challenging free skate. But that, you know, that's a great point. I don't know if he's kind of a dark personality, but yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that the least. Well, technically, I mean, there was a program without
choreography
quads.
Did not enter the frame.
Yeah, for sure.
I have to say, in Lake Placid, he was like a joy to be around.
Oh yeah.
By the way,
yes, he didn't like my questions.
That's
so
fine.
I have
he doesn't need to like your questions.
Yeah.
I'm just saying his general demeanor is like, listen, I'm 30. Yeah. I've worked my off for all of this.
Yes,
and I'm here, and I'm gonna put it all out there, and that's what he's doing.
It would kind of be a shock. Unless he really tanks at Russian Nationals, I would really look askance at the Russian Federation. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we love looking askance.
Yes, I'm looking askance at you right now.
Well done. I'm going to put in a plug for Dmitry Aliev. He is an incredible skater. I love how all around he is as a skater. He just has not had the numbers this year in terms of consistency. I think he still has some. I think he had an injury during the season that he was skating through.
Yeah.
And his like second half of his program was just not there. So if he somehow pulls a miracle at Russian Nationals and then at Europeans, he's got a shot too.
Right. And what, 18 years old?
Yeah.
He has a future. Obviously.
He's got a super future.
I think that's what, you know. And I don't blame them. I mean, he's 18. Some people would love to see happen.
Right.
Yeah. But
right.
I do think he's been hampered by injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pairs event. Three spots obviously up for grabs for the Russian pairs teams who have been so, so strong on the international stage. You look at Tarasova and Morozov, I think probably as the favorites going into that event, though they were just beaten at the Grand Prix final by Stobova and Klimov. Those two teams feel like a lock, and then it feels like the rest of the field, Jackie, is fighting over that third spot.
It's always that third spot or that second spot. Whatever. It's always that there's like
one
a lock,
spot.
And then there's one spot left.
Perhaps maybe the U.S. ladies, I think there's three spots up for grabs.
There is, right? But there isn't. I don't know.
I digress.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a different time.
I mean, right now, you have to think that Zabiaco and Enbert are favored for that third spot. They've had just slightly better results. They had a much better result just at Golden Spin, and they were head-to-head against Astakova and Roganov. They are the more consistent pair. Astakova and Roganov are a more inconsistent but potentially more exciting pair. So it's kind of apples and oranges there.
But Zabiaco and Ember internationally, they're just a much more well-known pair too, right? They've been around.
I mean, they were at Worlds last year.
Yeah.
But Astakova and Roganov were also at Worlds at one point. So they're still pretty new, Zabiaco and Ember. And I think what they have going for them is kind of these classic Russian lines.
They look good.
Yeah, they look great on the ice. Astakova and Roganov are more raw, are more kind
powerful.
Of
powerful.
I mean, yeah, just a different kind of skating.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for both pairs. I mean, I think that Zabiaco and Enbert really helped themselves adding that throw triple Lutz to the program that, you know, helps them with the scores. It puts them in, you know, a different league a little bit. You know, it's interesting that I believe they're a Mosier pair in the Mosier group, shall we say, whereas Astakova and Roganov are with Artur Dmitriev. So Mosier's group would have all three top Russian pairs going to the Olympics if, you know, they were to capture that spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so we obviously talk about that third spot, but then just the fight between, I think, either Tarasova and Morozov or Stobova Klimov, it would mean something for them to walk away as national champions. Right?
I think more so for Stobova and Klimov than it is for Tarasova and Morozov, because Tarasova and Morozov have been doing well. They were world bronze medalists last year. They really come in as the favorites because they have the more exciting elements. I will reserve my judgment for their free skate music of choice.
Oh, come on. Somebody else is talking about it.
It's just, yeah.
But Stobov and Klimov, they are coming in really with the, like, the kinds of weird inconsistency mistakes that they are trying to laugh off. They know that if they skate two clean programs, they are 75 and 145. You know, they're up there with the very best in the world. And, you know, they're the Olympic silver medalists coming in. They will need to get themselves back on that consistency wagon. Whereas, you know, Tarasov and Morozov, if they made a mistake, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But Stoboev and Klinov need to be clean to win.
Gotcha. All right, so that's the pairs in St. Petersburg this weekend. Lastly, last but not least, the dance,
yes,
Lynn Rutherford.
Dance.
And I actually didn't realize it's only two spots for the Russians.
Yes, it's...
Which is insane.
Well, I don't know if it's insane.
Yeah, I don't think it's insane.
Appropriate for the dynamics of ice dance.
It's crazy to think that the Russians will only be able to send two teams.
Correct. I mean, historically, this would be classified as a disappointment for them, yes. You know, I do think that, you know, their top two are pretty established in a way. Bobrov and Soloviev, I believe, are heavily favored to win Russian nationals. You know, I think that this is probably going to be their last season skating together. I think that she's, more so than he, has indicated, you know, she'd like to move on.
Okay.
So I would say that they are the top team going in there based on everything, based on the history, based on their scores, etc. And I think Stepanova and Bukin are favored to take the second spot. You know, I would classify them as a, you know, elegant team, an up-and-coming team, still fairly young. They will probably get some, you know, competition there.
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly from...
Sinan and Katsalapa.
Exactly.
Who looked great at Skate America.
They look great at Skate
with
America.
His experience, you know, that could be throw a wrench in that whole situation.
It could. I talked to their coach, Alexander Zhulin, a bit at Skate America, and he said that, you know, it's kind of like a switch went off in their brains and they're suddenly working three times harder than they did because they realize that, you know, they've really got to buckle down and start to make a name for themselves. They've, you know, had a little bit of, you know, not horribly, but a few disappointing finishes last season.
Sure.
And they're working far harder than they did when they first came to Zhulin, which was actually at the, I believe, the end of the summer.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can do some damage.
Yeah.
But as I say, I think Stepanova and Bukin are favored, let's say, for the
That's another
spot.
Decision it would feel like could come down to after Europeans.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I really don't see anybody but Bobrova and Soloviev and Stepanova and Bukin going to the Olympics at this point. I
would agree.
Yeah, I don't see any of that happening. It's what's interesting, too, though, is that Katsalapov is coming to this nationals with Victoria Siznitsyna, but then his old partner, the one he... won the bronze medal with in Sochi, Elena Ilyanik, is coming with another new partner after her dance partnership broke up last year with Ruslan Sagenshin retiring. So, you know, I don't think Elena Ilyanik's going to really make a dent here at Russian Nationals, but it'll be good to see her make a comeback at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a throwdown showdown to remember. Thank you both for joining me in the studio.
It was super fun. I love talking about skating.
Right? You don't say. Lynn Rutherford, thank you so much. See you
thank
in
you.
San Jose
yep.
at U.S. Nationals. Jackie Wong, I'm sure I'll talk to you again very soon on Ice Talk.
Very soon.
All right, well, that's it. Again, thanks to Lynn and thanks to Jackie. As always, thanks to our producer, Kate Sullivan, for helping us sound as good as we can, and to our editor, the man in charge, Mickey Brown. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on icenetwork.com. Just go to the fans page. And wherever you listen, please leave us a review. We prefer for you to give us good reviews, but that's up to you. We will, of course, have coverage of everything from U.S. championships in San Jose. Go to icenetwork.com for all of that, including Lynn's writing, more podcasts, and live streaming, as only we can do on icenetwork.com. As always, thank you for taking us for a spin, and we'll talk to you again soon.